You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Tell Ambassadors Jakar and Londo I want to see them in chambers now.
Yes, number six.
Then invite them again as firmly and as politely as you can.
Captain, either you snore or last night we had a hell of a breach in the hull.
What do I do now?
Old style, you roll over and go to bed. New style, you go out for pizza and I never see you again.
What's inside there?
One moment of perfect beauty.
Hello, and welcome to the Epsilon 3, a Babylon 5 rewatch podcast. Each week, we review an episode of the 1990s sci-fi TV classic Babylon 5. This week, Season 2, Episode 11, All Alone in the Night. I'm Paul.
I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
And we are the Epsilon 3.
And the synopsis. While investigating strange readings on a Star Fury patrol, Sheridan is kidnapped by aliens. General Haig makes an unofficial visit to the station, and Delenn is called before the Grey Council in response to her recent transformation. Written by JMS and directed by Mario De Leo, this episode was released on the 15th of February 1995 and takes place in July 2259. And the guest stars: Zhu Garcia as Lieutenant Ramirez. He's actually credited as Nick Corry. Marshall R. Teague as Talon. Robin Sachs as Hedron. John Vickery as Neroon. Robert Foxworth as General William Haig. Audright Chamberlain as the voice of Kosh. And Josh Cox as Tech David Corwin. And these basically, we have return visits from Robin Sachs and John Vickery as Hedron and Neroon, and obviously Robert Foxworth as General William Haig. So, Sean, what did you think about this episode?
Well, I think I enjoyed it well enough. I do remember when Sheridan got captured and he had to fight his fellow prisoners, although I do remember it being more long and involved and drawn out and more adversaries, but I guess my memory is incorrect. So it was rather streamlined, I guess, but it was good. It was good. And it's always good to see Delenn and the Grey Council and all that fun stuff, even if it doesn't turn out very well for her.
Dan?
Yeah, having Sheridan sort of taken prisoner and he's abducted and things like that, I thought I was watching Enterprise again with Archer being abducted. But I don't really remember this one. Nothing in this episode sort of stuck with me, as opposed to what we're going to be reviewing next week, which I almost beat for beat, I could remember the entire thing. Don't know why. But this particular one, this nothing about the Strabe, nothing about the aliens, nothing about the weird, was it like a Borg thing that they were trying to do, that they were trying to remind control these people and make them fight? I don't really remember anything about this. And the fact that Delenn was brought against the Grey Council, and now there's this imbalance with the war cast as well, completely lost on this one. But it was nice because it was almost like I was watching a brand new episode of Babylon 5 that I've never seen before.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I didn't particularly remember this too well. I vaguely remembered the fight sequences with Sheridan. I didn't remember anything with the Grey Council at all, or Kosh, or the dream with Kosh and all this stuff. And guys, so it was like watching it again for the first time. I was trying to work out whether there was any significance in Sheridan and this Narn that he's befriended. But they didn't seem to sort of follow up on it at the end of the show at all. Did we even get his name? I don't know if we actually got his name. Obviously, I didn't even get him in the guest stars, so I don't know. I don't know whether. I guess it could have been Talon, of course.
Maybe.
So
maybe he's best mates with Warren. You know, he's been there all the time. We just haven't noticed.
He's been there all the time. Yeah, of course. Mm. In the background, always talking to Jakar. So anyway, yes, as we mentioned there, Delenn is recalled to the Grey Council to explain her status. Will she be allowed to continue in the council or be removed? And Ivanova and Sheridan discuss the Bermuda Triangle of space where ships go missing. Sheridan wants to go look for the region that the ships are disappearing in. I mean, what could go wrong?
It's fine.
Yeah, it'll be okay. It'll be great. Yeah.
I mean, you know, famous last words. But as Delenn is leaving, Linnea says he is coming with her. She tries to dissuade him, but he ignores the risks of disgrace that could come his way. Delenn says, "You are young." Obviously, you know, he's young. He doesn't understand that the implications of what could happen to him.
Hmm.
But Bill Mumy is actually 1 year older than Mira Furlan. But General Haig is coming to the station on an unofficial visit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just on a holiday. Yeah.
Pop by.
Yeah, where else do you go? Babylon 5.
Yeah, that's right.
It was his turn to be the person who was from Sheridan's past who turned up on the station. That was it.
True. Delenn arrives at the council and Sheridan arrives at the empty region of space. So, right, everybody's in place now.
Hmm.
He's about to return when suddenly himself and his two pilots that have obviously his guard, they're all attacked by an alien ship. The captain has to eject, but is taken on board by the aliens. General Haig makes it on board Babylon 5 and is concerned that the captain is still tied up. And it turns out that he is tied up on the alien ship. He's got this thing comes out of the roof with it's like going to the dentist. It's got drills and saws and all sorts of things on it, on arms. And he's like
pretty nasty looking.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? I thought, what are they going to do with that? You know, cut him to bits? You know, are they going to dissect him?
It reminded me of the scene from Galaxy Quest.
Yes. But the thing is, I mean, you know, it leaves him with a nasty scratch on the cheek.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah. How's he going to live that down?
I don't know.
It reminded me of the suicide booths from Futurama. Just like everything's going to come at you and it could go in different angles and different parts of your body. And just it, I don't know what they were hoping to find out by scratching him up. How is that scientific? It doesn't make any sense.
If you'd seen something like needles taking samples, blood or something, or you know, chop a finger off and take it away so they can look at it later or whatever.
Nobody said they were smart aliens.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. One of them looked like a pizza cutter. I thought it was maybe a cosmic pizza thing going on there, but I don't know.
Shh, guys, don't tell everybody your secret.
Yeah. Here's Sheridan, very large Sheridan with stuff crust.
Sheridan pizza. So Delenn appears at the council chambers and is basically told off because she is not one of them now. How could she be one of the nine? So she's kicked out of the nine and is no longer Satai.
Very sad.
It's really sad. I mean, what's she going to do now? I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, the whole point of her was that she was part of the Grey Council and you know, that was a big secret. And now she isn't. So what's her purpose in life? Sheridan is being tortured and is forced to fight aliens. One of them wants to actually be killed by him rather than live.
Shadrach! Shadrach! Kill me! That's what they want, isn't it? For us to kill each other? What is it to them? Huh? Sport? Entertainment? Kill me!
No!
They have this device on the head which is forcing them to fight. So we've seen this in Star Trek a few times, haven't we, where there's been devices put on people's heads to control them. And
I was half expecting someone to say, like, you know, Ten Quatu's on the newcomer. I was kind of hoping for some Star Trek fight music as well.
Yeah, exactly. Where's the you know, there's none of that. The big cotton buds they're fighting with. Yeah,
that's right.
Where's the orchestra that was playing the theme music every time that ship turned up? a couple of weeks ago.
Agamemnon, yes.
Why aren't they there? You know, they've been abducted as well on the Cosmic Pizza ship. And, you know, they want to play a little bit of fight music tonight. Here's Milton John. It's Saturday night. It's all right for fighting. I like how the Drazi's big fight move was go under the table. That was impressive fighting style. I don't know what it's called, but
It totally confused Sheridan. He didn't know where he was.
In a massive room where he could have just stood back and waited for him to come out from under the table. No, he gets closer to the table just in case he might be around the other leg at the back. Very weird.
Yeah, bizarre. Ramirez actually makes it back to Babylon 5, but unfortunately dies of radiation poisoning before he can give any information about what has happened.
Ramirez!
No!
Don't you go dying on me, Ramirez! Oh, all those weeks we've invested in that character, just like Warren, every single time.
I know, he's what a bloke. I mean, he loves his baseball. You know, he's got to put a bet on, and now he can't tell whether he's going to win or not.
His biggest crime was loving Mars.
And we all know that baseball ended in the 2020s, according to Deep Space Nine. So exactly. I don't know what they're doing here.
That's older than a Helen Keller reference. Jesus.
Right?
Meanwhile, back at the Great Council, Delenn makes a passionate plea to be reinstated.
For 20 cycles, I stood beside you as one of the nine. I called many of you friends. And now you call me outcast. You know me. You know I believe in the task that is before us, the great war that is coming. I have not turned my back on you. In trying to help, I have sacrificed all that I was and all that I am.
The Council have appointed another warrior caste to replace Delenn, giving them the unprecedented power on the Council.
We can no longer allow ourselves to be separated by names and borders. Our two sides must unite or be destroyed. Do not make my sacrifice a vain one. Allow me to finish what I started. In the name of our friendship and the future of our people, let me remain with Babylon 5.
There should be three of each, and now there's four warrior castes?
I am more than happy to have you remain with the humans.
You are the one chosen to replace me. I do not know you.
I believe you do.
Nerun? I do not understand. He is warrior caste from the Star Riders clan.
That's unheard of.
Yeah. Even in times of war, I mean, even when they were fighting the humans, did they not have more than three on the council then?
When Valen called the nine together, he chose three from the worker caste, three from the religious caste, and three from the warrior caste. My replacement should have been from the religious caste. Four from the warrior caste gives them unprecedented power.
Why not? It was the warrior caste who died in the war against the Earthers. Warrior caste who have defended our world for centuries while the Council floated among the stars, isolated from its own people.
This is wrong.
Is it?
Don't know. But it was very strange where this scene was coming from, because Distant Star was when we had the first time she went into the room and then they shut the lights off before everyone had a chance to leave. Then we had Legacies where we met Nerun. And then we had another scene where she was called in just a couple of weeks ago to answer for doing the change ahead of schedule. And there was this prophecy. And now she's come back again for another meeting. It kind of felt like they'd filmed all of these scenes the same week, and they just decided, right, we're going to chop it up, put it in this one, and this one. It didn't really feel like it had any place in this episode. Like, she could have she still could have resolved the issue by being on Babylon 5 and saying, this is the Strabe, this is where they are. And then she works with Haig, and they sort of put together a team and go and rescue him. There was no real reason for this scene to be in this episode when we've already had all of this build up from previous weeks. And I think it kind of threw me out because I didn't really see why it had to be here.
You say prophecy tells us a great war is coming. Should not the warrior caste lead against it?
The warrior caste cannot be allowed to set policy.
Have you done any better? When I was inducted into this circle, I was finally told the reason we were ordered to surrender. I didn't know whether to laugh or weep. If we had been told the truth, then we never would have surrendered.
You do not understand.
I understand that before me is a creature I do not recognize. 1 foot in two worlds. You are an affront to the purity of our race.
Sean, do you think Dan's making a pitch here to be one of the writers on the new Babylon 5 series?
It certainly seems that way.
Yeah.
Give me the money. Give me the money. Give me the money.
And we do know that Mr. Dan here does have some writing credibility, so it's not too far off.
Absolutely.
I wrote one book, everybody. Just one. I'm not even that good at it.
That's all you need.
You know what else you need? You need to listen to this promo for another podcast right here on the ESO Network.
The Vandaloo Effect.
Nah.
Helm report.
Sir, there's Klingons on the starboard bow.
Starboard bow?
Starboard bow!
What are they doing there?
They seem to be waiting for the new episode of Earth Station Trek.
Science, what do we know about this Earth Station Trek?
It's a podcast that treks through the history of Star Trek, from the early days on NBC to the future on Paramount Plus and everywhere in between.
Navigation, how would one find such a podcast?
By setting coordinates for earthstationtrek.com or by doing a sensor sweep of Spotify, iTunes, or any other quadrant where fine podcasts are available.
Captain, what are we going to do about the Klingons?
We come in peace, Commander. Weapon station, shoot to kill.
Shoot to kill!
Shoot to kill!
Amazing. Sheridan makes a friend of Anan that he was forced to fight. And meanwhile, with Delenn, she tells Linnea to go home. He replies,
"Where you walk, I will walk. I have sworn myself to your side."
You do not know. You cannot know what you're saying.
Yes, I do. Come what may, Delenn. I will not leave you while I am still alive.
You are my home.
Help me, Linnea. You're my only hope. That's a different thing. Do you think there's a bit of a, you know, he's got a bit of a crush on Delenn there? Do you think there's...
Oh, I would think that's quite clear.
Yeah. They go off out of sight, arm in arm. Yeah.
That's it. Mm. We're off to see the wizard note. Sorry, wrong one. Down the Mimbari Road.
Down the grey brick road.
Yeah. Who's turned off our lights?
Oh. Yes. General Haig has asked the Agamemnon to come to help look for Sheridan. Mm. He's still in his alien ship. But is having strange dreams about Ivanova, a crow, Garibaldi, a dove, and Kosh.
Why are you here? We were never away. For the first time, your mind is quiet enough to hear me.
Why am I here?
You have always been here.
I think it's a joke, isn't it? Ivanova, a crow, Garibaldi, a dove, and Kosh all walk into a room.
Don't stay with this. Don't get those weird masks that we had in that cycle episode, like back in season one. Don't do another dream sequence. Come on, guys. So that did take it down for me again. You know I don't like them.
Yeah. And then Sheridan asks Kosh, you know, why are you here? He says, for the first time, your mind has been quiet enough to hear me. Mm-hmm. Does he not sleep? You know, does he not? Can he not do it in a normal dream at any other time?
That's not how it works. It's not dramatic enough. So does that imply that Kosh or the Vorlons asked the Strabe to abduct him? If they need to pass on this message or sort of contact Sheridan and know that there's some weird, twisted fate thing going on.
Mm. I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Good theory, though.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Again, he's pitching for that writing position. But this pushes Sheridan to try to make an escape. His friendly Narn helps him. It's a bit strange. He's got this great big sword. And he looks at it and he says, you know, give me a lever big enough, you know, which is a total misquote of Archimedes. And then he shoves it under the little gap in the door and tries to pull it open. But anybody who knows anything about, you know, metal...
It would have snapped.
It would either bent or snapped, yeah. What he should have done is held it so it was the other way around, so 90 degrees perpendicular. So then all the strength is in the sword then.
Yeah, I saw that too. I was like, that's not going to work.
Nah. Hey, these are the pizza cutter species. They know how to make metal that doesn't bend. That's the way it works.
And pipes as well. They know how to make pipes.
Really good space pipes.
Yeah.
Clearly, the Narn saw that Sheridan didn't know how to lever up a door. So he's like, I got a punctured lung, but I don't care. I'm going to take my pipe and help him out. Because he might be the captain, but he's clearly a moron.
Yeah, that's right. So, no, he's risen to his own level of incompetence. Made captain. Delenn returns to Babylon 5 and tells Ivanova that the aliens that have captured the captain are known to her.
Ambassador, what have you got? The ship which has taken Captain Sheridan is known to us. They're called the Stribes. Over the years, they have sent out ships to investigate defenses and acquire samples of any life forms they encountered. The last expedition was into Minbari space. We tracked them back to their homeworld and made sure they understood the depth of their mistake.
Can you give us the coordinates for their homeworld?
Of course.
Now, when Sheridan, he's trying to escape when they get to the homeworld, you know, just as they get to the homeworld, he tries to escape, as we said. And he gets out into the corridor, and one of the aliens walks past. Now, it's a very brief glimpse, but did you think the alien looked like your typical 1950s sci-fi alien? You know, the big head, the big eyes.
Yeah.
The ones at Stargate. Maybe that's... Yeah, that was a deliberate thing. So they're obviously taking specimens, you know, from different species. Maybe these guys have been down to the Earth in the past.
But those gray-headed aliens were the same species that we saw in that court case episode from season one.
One that was getting sued for abductions.
Exactly. So it must be the same kind of...
Right, yes. Yeah. Just as the... Sheridan tries to escape just as they reach the Stribe homeworld, and just as the Agamemnon arrives and starts blasting away, and there's Star Furies everywhere, and all hell breaks loose. But they manage to find a survival pod and escape. And in Sheridan's case, he escapes with a mild case of acne. I don't know if you suppose that he had like three spots on his face. I mean, where did that come from? Any time did we see that?
Well, that's all the cuts that he got.
Maybe we didn't even see them in the fight sequence, did we?
No, we didn't. But we'll allow it.
It was the arm that had the lipstick. It was just dabs yes, on his face that, yeah. To see what. So,
you'll have a spot there. We'll put some spot cream on it. There you go.
These are the Strabe are basically international salesmen. They're not actually asked after samples. They are giving samples to other species. Would you like lipstick? Try lipstick. These are your lips, right? These things next to there you go. You like, yes? You want to buy?
Kosh appears to tell Sheridan.
You have always been here.
Curious. But Sheridan tells Haig that his staff is true to Earth.
What have you found out? They're all loyal to Earth, if that's what you mean. Ivanova, Garibaldi, Franklin, all the rest of them. They're good people, General. I don't like spying on them.
You're not a spy. More like a trapdoor spider.
So for the last 6 months, he's actually been spying on everybody?
What is he, Section 31?
Yeah.
Psycho? No.
Yeah.
What was the one they had, the something 14 or something?
Bureau 13?
Is it? Whatever number they had, 41 or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're so secret, we've forgotten about them already.
Yeah, 47, 42, lottery numbers.
That's a big woman. Haig tells Sheridan that there is more belief in the fact that President Santiago was assassinated and that the Psi-Corps are behind it.
Well, not everyone back home buys the party line that Santiago's death was an accident.
Yeah, well, lately I've been having some real second thoughts about this myself. But if Santiago's death was an assassination, we're talking about a military coup here.
Not entirely, though they probably had some support from within the military, the intelligence community, the Home Guard, but they're not the ones calling the shots.
It's Psi-Corps, isn't it?
Probably. The trick is proving it.
Hey, you want Sheridan's support to get the Earth government back?
Now that you've had a chance to evaluate your staff, you have to decide if you can trust them enough to bring them in on this. Knowing that you're putting them in equal jeopardy.
It's not much reward for being trustworthy, is it?
No. No, it's not. But it's time we stopped reacting and started acting. Now, in 20 minutes, I'm getting on a ship and heading for Earth. I'll try to feed you as much information as I can, when I can. Your cooperation is essential if we're going to take back our government.
But on this final scene with the briefing with Haig, just on the episode bit, again, where did this come from? I was kind of saying this to myself the whole way through the episode, like, where is this coming from? Where is it going? Because I know Haig had like given him a little briefing and then it cut away before he actually said what his mission was back in the first episode of season two, but it hasn't really had any build up. Like, we haven't really been given an indication that Sheridan was making notes on everybody. He's been probing sort of Garibaldi about what his contacts are, and then every now and then Garibaldi doesn't give up the contact. He found out about Franklin and the underground, but it there wasn't like a scene at the end of those episodes where he's taking notes and then passing it secretly to somebody. I felt like it just came out of nowhere again that there's this whole thing that Sheridan's been doing this whole time, that there wasn't really anything else alluding to his mission.
Yeah, I would have thought it'd been better if they, like you say, they had at the end of a couple of episodes, you know, you see him taking those notes or that, and so you think, so you automatically think, oh, is he a bad guy? Is he working, you know, for the Psych Corps as a, you know, as an informer? And then have this reveal that really he's been working for General Haig and he's actually a good guy and he's, you know, and he's working for Earth Force. So it was a bit, yeah, it did come a little bit out of nowhere. And suddenly we have this confrontation saying, well, not confrontation, this debrief saying, yes, I've been spying on them for the last 6 months. It's very strange.
Yeah, it comes out of nowhere, almost like Dr. Bashir in season five being genetically modified all of a sudden. Let's just throw this out there for no reason, because
that was there all along. He mistook the postganglionic nerves on purpose. That was always there.
Of course, he has always been there.
In the background, like a little gnome.
That's people was a noise of a little gnome. A little known fact.
Selling your products and samples like on a strafe ship. There we go.
Okay, let's move on to the trivia. So according to the Babylon 5 timeline, it is during this time that Catherine Sakai, Commander Sinclair's fiancée, returns to Babylon 5 and learns of Sinclair's reassignment. She then goes to Minbar and eventually becomes a ranger.
Would have been fun to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on, Babylon 5. Has anybody seen Commander Sinclair? Anybody? No?
Who?
Oh, you've not heard. Ah, well. You mean he's not written to you?
She's been wandering around the whole time.
Well, he's obviously not told her. If she's been, if she's only learned of Sinclair's reassignment, you know, now, then... 6 months down the line, yeah, she doesn't keep in touch, does he?
She got knocked out during the Gropos fights. Every time they happened in the bar fight, she just got knocked out again and again and again, yeah. And that was it. Mm. Got stuck in med lab the whole time.
She was the one on the chandelier.
Like, nah, that was it. Still hanging.
Yeah, 6 months. Like that guy.
Yeah. Having a conversation with the guy on the chandelier. Yes. On the other one. So yeah. They're just still hanging there.
The aliens who kidnap Sheridan are called the Stribes, after novelist Whitley Stryber. The aliens in the show look just like the ones he describes in his book Communion. Not somebody I've heard of.
It felt a little bit sort of Farscape-y, kind of weird, a living ship sort of thing. It looked like a little bug.
Yeah, it did.
I thought it was a fun design. When we've seen all these ships so far, it was into something interesting. It wasn't just a stock block ship that was just coming in, doing its thing, and going away.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, okay, that's nice.
Captain Sheridan misquotes Archimedes, discoverer of the principles of leverage. Sheridan says, give me a lever big enough and I will move the world. What Archimedes actually said was, give me somewhere to stand and I will move the earth. Yes, that's true. Otherwise, how can you move the Earth? What are you going to do? Stand on the moon, I suppose, and then use a lever from there? Or is that the actual pivot point and you need to stand somewhere in space to lever it around the moon? I don't know.
It's all flat anyway. Just flip it.
The episode marks the first appearance of Marshall Teague's Narn character, Talon.
There we go.
Spoilers. Even though he only appeared in a handful of episodes, the common respect and friendship between his character and Captain Sheridan was considered by fans a subtle but high point of the series. Oh, well, we'll find out a few episodes' time, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't recall this at all from all my rewatches, but okay.
Yeah. I mean, if it had been Jakar, and that's like the bonding between those two characters, that would have been great. Mm. Jakar was sort of forced to fight him. That'd be fun.
Yeah. When Lieutenant Ramirez's Star Fury returns to Babylon 5 after being shot up, the incoming jump point is yellow. In the Babylon 5 universe, incoming jump points are blue and outgoing ones are yellow. Sack the continuity person.
Yeah. It could be Ramirez. He was just mucking around.
Yeah.
He had all those settings and everything like that. Yeah. He was dying. Well, yeah. What does he care?
Radiation. That's what it was.
Yeah.
In an argument about baseball, Dr. Stephen Franklin states Martian gravity is 40% less than Earth normal. The ball travels faster and further. Martian gravity is even weaker than that. It's a bit under 2/5 of Earth's, not 3/5, as Franklin states. Either way, it's true that in lower gravity, a ball hit at a given speed and angle takes longer to reach the peak of its arc, and thus covers more horizontal distance in proportion to the difference in gravity. There you go. That's the end of the trivia. Sean, do we have any Star Trek connections?
As a matter of fact, we do. Let me educate you. So, of course, we have Robert Foxworth. We've talked about him before, so I won't rehash that. But Marshall Teague as Talon. Yeah, of course, he was in Voyager's Distant Origin as Haluk and Deep Space Nine's Hippocratic Oath as Timo Zuma. Then we've got Robin Sachs. He was in Voyager's The Void as, get this, General Valen. And John Vickery was in the Enterprise episode Judgment as Prosecutor Oryk. He was in 3 episodes of Deep Space Nine as Gal Rusat. And he was in TNG's Night Terrors as Andras Hagen.
Oh, very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. So, ratings. We rate the Babylon 5 episodes out of 5 because we are looking at Babylon 5. And this week, IMDb, they scored those out of 10 and they gave it a 7.5. In our ratings, that would make it 3.75. Sean, what rating would you give this episode?
You know what? I've gone back and forth on this quite a bit. After watching it last night, before talking to you boys, I was up in the 4s somewhere. But after our discussion and how it really wasn't a very consequential episode, sure, we get a lot of Delenn stuff and all the Grey Council things. But it wasn't that great of an episode. I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Dan, what would you give it?
Yeah, as always, with when I give a 2.5, it's a basic episode. Does it, you know, entertain me as a piece of television? Yeah, it's fine. It's not bad. It's not offensive. It's not very memorable, so it's not a great episode, so it can't be anything more than a 4, so it's got to land somewhere in between. And it's got action beats. It's fun, you know, in that regard. You've got the Delenn stuff. You've got this now new mission for Sheridan that they've got to move silently and slowly in the shadows, move too quickly and they'll be exposed. You know, it's setting up things that I know will come, but really it doesn't feel like it has any weight to it. It's not like the coming of the shadows. So I'm just going to go nice round 3 out of 5. It's a nice bit of TV. It's not inoffensive.
Yeah, I think you've influenced my decision there with the two of you there. I sort of agreed with you. It wasn't an exciting episode. It didn't really hold my attention because there's stuff going on, but it was really, it was a world-building episode. It was really sort of, you know, bringing in the ending, bringing in this conspiracy theory of, you know, that is now gaining momentum back on Earth. Also, you know, a nice little, you know, alien abduction story, doesn't really go anywhere. The stuff with Delenn is intriguing because obviously now she's out to the Great Council. There's a bit of politics there, so we're seeing a little bit of Minbari politics. Because last week we had a little bit of Centauri politics, so you know we're starting to see all of the three major races, their you know the politics that are affecting their home worlds at this moment. So yeah, but it was a good episode. It certainly wasn't an average episode. I mean, you can throw it into the sort of the middle of the range pot, but there is intrigue in this episode that lifts it slightly, and there's an importance in this episode because later on we will see, the events that have started here, also the continuation of the war and what have you. So for that reason, I've given it the same as Sean, 3.5. Okay, so anything else you want to bring up about this episode?
No, not really. That was pretty much it.
Yep. Okay. So don't forget, dear listeners, that we three appear on another podcast. It's called the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. So search your podcast catchers for that and listen to us talking about anything and everything. And that's it for this episode. Join us again next week when we will be discussing Season 2, Episode 12, Acts of Sacrifice. If you have any thoughts on this episode, why not send in some feedback to the epsilon3@gmail.com. That's 3 spelled T-H-R-E-E, not the number. Or you can find us on our Facebook page. Just search for the Epsilon 3.
Now, if you have any other problems, any other questions at all, just ask.
Anybody wants to leave now before you hear anything you'll have to report, do so. Nothing will be said.
I'm in. Ditto.
Hey, I never did know when to butt out. We're with you, Captain. Wherever this goes, however it ends, we're with you.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.